Forget Wall Street. Today, the business focus is on Cupertino, California, and Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, we'll find out what a steep drop in the price of gold has to do with a conference in Wyoming, and we'll find out about Apple with and without Steve Jobs. But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up right now. The Dow up 14 points, about one-tenth of a percent at 11,335. The NASDAQ up just about one-tenth of a percent as well. The S&P 500 up a quarter of a percent. We just learned that Warren Buffett's company, Berkshire Hathaway, is investing $5 billion into Bank of America, which has been losing stock market value. Bank of America's stock is up 17% right now on that news. And gold is down another $42 this morning at $1,712 an ounce. And that is where we'll start with Diane Swonk, chief economist with Mesirow Financial, who's with us live from Chicago, as she is every Thursday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Diane, first explain why gold is dropping so much so fast.
Well, there's certainly a lot of hope pinned on Chairman Bernanke giving a speech in Jackson Hole on Friday morning to reassure investors that he's willing to pull the trigger on QE3, another round of large-scale asset purchases. And that's something that would get people feeling more confident about at least equities over hoarding cash in gold.
And would QE3, quantitative easing 3, these big bond purchases by the Fed, would QE3 look like the one that just finished QE2?
All of them actually look very different, and I would expect this one to look different as well. Not only would it have to be larger than QE2 in scale, my guess is it could include more than just Treasury bond purchases going back to mortgage-backed securities as well. And the Fed may not even tip its hat to which it's buying when. I think this is important as they're looking at all different ways to pull new rabbits from a hat. Luckily, rabbits multiply for Chairman Bernanke.
And maybe the idea here is to get people to take more risk with their money. Do you think it can work?
You know, it actually did work to this extent that it got people buying equities instead of hoarding their cash in bonds and safe assets back in last year when they started it and into 2011. The important rally in equity markets also enabled IPOs out there, and those IPOs were the few things that gave us a lot of jobs at the beginning of the year. Jobs is what we need. So there is a linkage here clearly in terms of bolstering equity prices and taking more risk, making a bet on our future in the U.S. economy.
Diane Swonk, Chief Economist with Mesirow Financial, who's headed off to Jackson Hole later today. Thanks, Diane.
Thank you.
And we'll have the big news from Cupertino in just a moment.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com. By LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com.
Apple stock is trading down this morning following last night's surprise announcement that CEO Steve Jobs is stepping down for good. He's been on a leave of absence for health reasons since January. The man who will replace him is a guy named Tim Cook, as Marketplace's Steve Henn reports.
Tim Cook revamped Apple's supply chain, ran the Macintosh division, and has the reputation of being an operational genius, where Jobs was the technology oracle. Michael Gartenberg follows Apple at Gartner and says Cook's been tested.
He's their operations person, but more importantly, he's acted as CEO twice before. And both of those times, Apple continued to perform well, introduced new products, and the value of the company increased under his watch.
Molly Wood is executive editor at CNET. She says while Cook made the trains run at Apple, he doesn't have the reputation of being a tech visionary.
It will be interesting down the road to see if Tim Cook does have his own vision, and if so, what it looks like, because it is hard to imagine that he could be the next Steve Jobs.
In his resignation letter to the board, Jobs strongly recommended that Cook take the reins and added he thought Apple's most innovative days were ahead of it. In Silicon Valley, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
So what was it like on the inside of Apple under the leadership of Steve Jobs? For that part of the story, we turn to Reed Martin. He was a product designer at the company from 2003 to 2008, and he's with us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts. Good morning.
Good morning.
You've interacted personally with Steve Jobs a number of times over the years. Give us a sense of what he's like in person.
You know, in person, I think I was always struck by the sort of presence that he commanded in a room. He had an ability to sort of glance around a room and immediately know everybody's reactions to what he was saying. If you had a great reason why you disagreed with him, he would put his trust into you to know something more about that than he might know in general. If you didn't know what you were talking about, then you are going to be quickly trampled over.
Do you remember a specific instance of that?
My first experience with him, actually, I was sitting on a couch right next to him about to show him a demo, and my heart was racing. You know, he was sort of a rock star to me. He grabbed the demo from me, and he says, "I love this," and then proceeds to sort of rip it apart. And there were a couple times where, you know, he said something that I definitely thought was incorrect. I didn't, you know, have the courage to speak up, but he noticed that I wasn't reacting positively, so he turned to me. And he conceded and said, "You clearly know more about this than I do. Let's go with that."
Let me just finally ask you, what was your thought when you heard the news that he is stepping down as CEO?
Oh, you know, my heart sank. I've known this is going to happen for a while. I think, you know, all of us have. But I think he'll continue to sort of lead on in inspiration and vision no matter what he ends up doing.
Reed Martin was a designer for Apple from 2003 to 2008. Reed, thanks for joining us.
Thanks a lot.
And we've got an illustrated history of Apple at marketplace.org. Finally, the Air and Space Museum in Washington, D.C. has found an earthquake victim from Tuesday's 5.8 shaker. It's a piece of glass originally recovered from the control tower at the Seattle-Tacoma Airport after a 6.8 magnitude quake struck there back in 2001. Most of the control tower's glass shattered during that quake, but not this little piece, which has been on display ever since, at least until Tuesday, when it finally broke during the East Coast quake. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
There's pressure in higher ed to save money and make classes more efficient. One thought, make teachers more productive. But how?
I have no idea. I think I'm pretty productive, but I'm not sure that I would come out well on a quantifiable scale.
I'm Bob Moon, running college like a business. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.